This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I want to share with you something that is very, very dear to my heart. And these are the lessons and the teachings that my own father taught me that has had such a huge impact on my life. And subhanAllah, this is something that I wrote about 2 years ago. And when I went to film it, some brothers actually do like professional filming. And we had the appointment tomorrow, we're going to film. And I was going through my laptop, I couldn't find these points that I had wrote down. I have with me about 13 different things I'm going to share with you, inshallah ta'ala. I'm not going to go too long, so don't worry about that, inshallah ta'ala. But inshallah, it's going to be beneficial. You really benefit from these points, inshallah ta'ala. And I'm going to do it in English, and also I'm going to do it in Arabic as well. But when I didn't find the notes, we ended up delaying it. And as you know now, many of you who are with me on social media know my father, he's been ill, he's not doing well. And we never know any. Obviously, the amal, the ages, or the time of death, that's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when someone gets a bit older and they're ill, the reality is that death is closer, right? So even though these points were, something I benefit, I want to share with you guys. My wife said, look, he said, it's even important that your father hears himself, that your father hears the impact that he has had on your life. So I sat down here today. I have a lot of, this is like a really busy time in my life. My wife said, no, you got to film it now. Let your dad hear it, not just the people. It only just benefit the people. So I sat down here today at home, alhamdulillah, to film this. To let my father know the impact that he's had on my life, and also so you guys can benefit from the things that he taught me as well, inshallah ta'ala. The first thing is love what you do for a living. And this lesson he taught me, and it had a huge impact on me. I remember I was working in Dubai in a school there, and we had a very long day teaching, and then we had a parents' evening. And I'd left the house probably around quarter to six, and now I'm coming back. It's like 7:15 in the evening. I'm in the traffic coming back home. And my father said something had such a huge impact on me. He said, do you know how long I've been working today? And I was like, how long? And he said, 16 hours straight. And I want you to realize that my father owns his own company. And when someone owns his own company, and it's a very, very successful company on top of that, mashallah. So when someone is successful and he has his own business, we're used to, in the Gulf countries, you hire foreign workers for cheap from outside and let them do it. You don't put yourself through any strenuous task. So I asked him, I said, why don't you just hire someone else to do it? And he said something that really had a huge impact on me. He said, do you know why I do what I do? He said, because I don't need the money, he said to me. And he said something that was a bit vulgar what he said, but he said I could take $20 bills and wipe myself with it and for the rest of my life and I would never go broke. He said, I have money, I'm set for the rest of my life, mashallah. But he said, I do it because I love it. I love what I'm doing. He said, I don't need the money, I'm not doing it for the money. And that reminded me of the statement that when you do what you love, you never go to work. Another lesson that he taught me was not to work for others, to do your own thing, to work for yourself, to be your own man, to own your own business and do your own thing. And this was when I didn't realize this. And many of the things I'm telling you guys, I didn't realize them in the beginning. And I told my stepmother, because my stepmother, I have a bit of I had before, it's all love now. I love her so much now. But I used to have like a love-hate relationship because she would do a lot of good for me, so that would have an impact on me, but she was very tough. So I had that hatred toward her because my mother let me basically do what I want. She had a lot of love for me, but she gave me a lot of freedom. Whereas my stepmother realized that freedom is not good for you. You need to do it like this and like this. So it was difficult for me to accept from her. But when I became a father later, and I started to implement many of the things they taught me, I realized and all the good that my father and my stepmother were doing and for me, may Allah bless them. And that's why I said to them, I said, I thank you so much for all of the lessons that you taught me. So I remember when I was a student in Medina, he contacted me, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, why don't you come back to America and take over this company? He said, I'm getting old, I'm going to retire soon. This is your company, I'm his only son. He said, come take it over. And for me, I wanted to, student of knowledge, I want to be a scholar of Islam, I'm studying with the scholars. So, and that's what I want to do in life, and that's what I enjoy doing, I mean, I wouldn't mind having a couple million dollars, to be honest with you, help me, help my family. But if I have to sacrifice my objectives and my goals to reach that, I'm not going to do that. So he said, come back, run the company. And now that I think about it, should I have done it? Shouldn't have? Allahu a'lam. But alhamdulillah, I'm happy with the decision I made, which was to stay in Medina, to finish studying with the scholars, and to then continue, inshallah, to teach and to give da'wah, alhamdulillah. But he told me something very, very profound, because he said, what do you gain in the end? So I have this issue of talab al-ilm, and the reward we get of seeking knowledge and teaching others. As a Muslim, this is something very dear to us. But perhaps a non-Muslim is not going to understand it in the same light. So, one of the things I said to him, I said in the end, I get a BA, I get a Bachelor's of Arts. So I'll have a I have a college degree. And he was like, for what? And if you look, and in reality, like, you know, Bill Gates and many of the successful people in the world today, Steve Jobs, they didn't have college degrees, right? So my father asked me, he said, what are you going to do? What are you going to benefit from having a BA? He's going to go work for someone else? And you know, you're going to become the slave of someone else, basically. And I realized this as well when I was a teacher in Dubai, even though I love teaching, but all the things that came with teaching, the preparation and just, you know, constantly being watched and being ordered around, it's like you're being pulled in chains by your slave master to the work. I realized many years later what my dad was talking about, that you need to do your own thing, have your own business, and work for yourself. An amazing story. When I first started working for my father's company, I was 18. I was coming from a serious jahiliya, you know, bad background, doing a lot of bad things. My father was trying to help me go straight. And he gave me a job, but it's the worst job you can imagine. I was basically like the cleaner and the boy that would run around on the construction site, even though my father owned the construction company I was working for. And he gave me basically, I don't even know if that was minimum wage at the time. It was very bad. I was getting like $800 a month, which wasn't good. Obviously, he's saying, you know, I'm taking care of the of your housing and your food and things like that. So $800 is enough. Anyways, you know, coming from my background, I was making more money in what I was doing in the haram before. But anyways, and he had an objective, and he did explain it to me. But sometimes, you know, we don't understand. It's very important. I always talk about benefiting from our elders, those who have been through life before us. He wanted to teach me something very important, and that is that you start from the bottom. He said, I know as a salesman, you're very good. He said, you can sell, he used to tell me, you can sell ice water to an Eskimo. He said, I know that you can run this company. He said, I know you're good when it comes to being in the office. He said, I know you're good when it comes to administrative things. He said, but what you need to do, he said, I want you to be on the field from the bottom. Learn how it's done, see how it's done. And then you start to learn a bit of carpentry, a bit of this and this, you learn how it's done. And then you come into the office, then you're gonna be very successful in running this company. Obviously, I didn't realize it at the time, but then with my experience in life later, I learned what he was saying was correct, that if you start sometimes from the bottom, you gain that experience, and then you work your way up, that's gonna help you be more successful in what you do in the future, inshallah. Tear down the wall. This is one of the most amazing lessons I've ever benefited from my father. My father, he hired a different group of carpenters to come in and to do some work in one of the houses we were working on. And my father used to come to all of the sites, and he would look at the sites himself. And he came in and he said, he saw that there was a board inside that was crooked. It wasn't straight. So he looked at it and he looked at it and saw another board wasn't straight. He told them, tear down the wall, take down the whole thing and build it again. And the people were shocked. They were like, once we put up the drywall, we put up this. He said, no one's going to see it. And it's not going to have an impact on the building anyway. It's just crooked. He said, no one's going to see it. My father said to these workers, he said, but I saw it. And he said, what I do, he said, it's all perfect. He said, I won't allow anything to be crooked or to not be correct. And he said, you take down the whole wall and you do it again correctly. And he said, I won't pay you a dime until you do it. Hear how much time is going to be lost in getting the job done, but it doesn't matter how much time it takes. What's important is that it's done correctly. And as a Muslim, we know the issue of amana, being trusted. When someone's entrusted you, someone's paid you money to do something for them, that we must fulfill it. And the best way and the responsibility that we're going to be asked about this, Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focusing on perfection, not focusing on the quantity, but focusing on the quality. For many years, my father's construction company was rated the number one construction company in the area that we live in Virginia in the US. And my father said something to me very amazing. He said that I only build 25 homes a year. He said, I can build 100, maybe even 200 if I want, because he was very known for the quality of his work. He said, I have a 2-year waiting list, people who have on the waiting list now who want to build with me. But he said, I only build 25 homes a year because, he said, I realized that these are the only ones that I can supervise myself. He said, every single house, he said, I go to all of the time, I see with my own eyes to make sure that it's being done correctly. And we all know from the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ إِذَا عَمِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَهُ, that Allah loves one of you does something that he perfects it. Improve just 1% a day. This is what my father used to always teach me, and he really installed this in me. Just 1% a day, just 1% a day. And a lot of times when we want to become better in what we do, we want to perfect whatever it is we're doing in life, we want to improve, you know, drastically and at great rates right away. But that doesn't really happen. You know, what happens a lot of times, for example, if you want to start working out or start dieting, sometimes we go really hardcore And we do a lot in the beginning, and then we burn out in a week or 2 weeks or in a month or what have you. But if you take it gradually and just each day you become 1% better, 1% better, at the end of the year, how much are you better? Depending which calendar you use, either 355, 360, 365, whatever it is. So let's say 365 or 360 in the middle. 360 times better than you were at the beginning of the year. And something I remember that Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, that he mentioned about learning different issues of the religion. He said, if you learn just three issues a day, don't try to do too much, just three issues. And when I teach this and I remind the brothers of this, of the statement of Imam Abu Hanifa, I always say that, you know, even if it's just one issue a day that you learn about your religion, that you're going to be, 360 times more, and you know more about your deen, your religion, at the end of the year. In 10 years, you're going to know 3,600 different things. A verse of the Quran, a hadith, the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever it is you're learning, you're going to know something more than you did because you just learned one thing yesterday and you continue. So it's the consistency that you're constantly trying to improve. Not trying to do too much, keeping on slow pace. And subhanAllah, when I remind myself of these things that I learned from my father, we see the relation that a lot of them have directly with what Islam taught me. And that's why I said that I didn't realize in the beginning, you know, how great these things were that he was teaching me. But then when I learned about Islam, for example, the issue of tearing down the wall, the amana, the responsibility, you know, and fulfilling what you've been entrusted with. How many times in the Quran does Allah tell us about this? How many things in the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has he taught us about this? What was the name of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam? As-Sadiq al-Amin. People knew him before Islam, before the revelation came to him, that he was the Sadiq, he was the truthful one and the trustworthy one. So a lot of the things that my father used to teach me, I didn't really get it. I mean, for me, to be honest, I would have left the board crooked. I'm not going to waste time, and the people are not going to see it like the dude said who are working for him. But the reality is, as that we know, as the Quran and the Sunnah teaches us, that Allah sees us, that we're going to be held accountable. So that type of responsibility and the amana, and to fulfill what the obligations that we have, it's one of the great teachings. So many of the teachings from my father, I benefited so much from them later on in life because of the teachings and what Islam had taught me. And I found that amazing, subhanAllah. My father's been teaching me these things since I was young. And here we hear Allah is teaching us in the Quran, and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us this in his sunnah and his traditions alayhi salatu wasalam. Be simple. An amazing lesson that my father taught me is to always be simple, not to be extravagant, even if you have money. And this happened in 2009 when we were at a conference in Canada. My father came from America to visit me. And he noticed we're in the elevator. I still remember the story, subhanAllah, very well. And the coat I had on was an expensive coat. It was a cashmere coat. And $350 during that time is probably even more now in today's prices. He asked me how much that cost. I was like, $350. It was actually a gift. I didn't buy it, but it was $350. And the shoes I had on so were about $110. So he looked at me and he said, look, because actually I had left my job and I was, you know, looking for another job at the time. So he said that, you know, here you are unemployed, but you're wearing these very expensive clothes. And he said, I have millions, I have more money than you. He said, I'm doing better than you. But yet he said, my jacket only cost $80 and my shoes only cost $40. Be humble. My father used to always try to install this in me. Be humble. He would tell me, humble pie, humble pie. He would always tell me this, especially before my basketball games, because through all my practice and all my dedication and training in basketball, I became pretty good. So obviously sometimes when you become good at something, it goes to your mind and then you become a bit arrogant. So my father used to always teach me the importance of being humble. And we know from the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tawadhu lillah, that whoever is humble for Allah, rafa'ahu, that Allah will raise his status. You need to sacrifice for your kids. And I remember when I said I became very good in basketball, how did that happen? Two people really sacrificed for me. One of them was my coach, and my basketball coach, may Allah bless him, and also my father. I used to wake up at 5 a.m. every day before school. I'd go downstairs, have my oatmeal, that's porridge for you Brits, and then I would, you know, wake my father up, I would call my coach, and my father would get out of bed, my coach would get out of bed, and he would take me to the gym around 5:30 a.m. I would train to around 7:15, you know, get showered, get dressed, and be in the school by 7:30. And then every day after school as well, I would train for several hours lifting weights and then playing basketball for about 3 or 4 hours during the evening. So I put in a lot of time, but the fact that he, and here is someone who's running a multi-million dollar business, his own business, is, you know, and he's waking up at the time he normally wouldn't wake up at, you know, like 5:15 a.m. every day in order to take that 20-minute drive from our house on the countryside all the way to go into our school, that's dedication. No matter how busy you are, sometimes you just have to stop and you have to go and you have to sacrifice for your kids. And wallahi, that has a huge impact. Even now, we're talking about 35, 40, or 30 years later, here I am, you know, looking at that impact that it had on me, the fact that he made that sacrifice for me, getting out of bed every day at 5:15. Never make a huge decision in your life unless you think it out first. In my jahili, in my pre-Islamic state, I was in a very bad situation. I was going down the wrong path. And I decided, and I spoke with my father about this, that one of the things that could really help me straighten out was to join the military. And subhanAllah, my family, it's a military family. Both my grandfathers were in the U.S. Army. My father, and they were in World War II. My father was in the U.S. Army during the time of the Vietnam War. They never deployed him, but he was ready to be deployed on his base. Also, my uncle, my cousin were also officers in the Air Force. So I'm from a military family. And military brings discipline. It helps you straighten up your life. So I said, this is what I'm going to do. I had my father take me to the recruiting office. And the recruiting office where we live, it has all of the branches of the military, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines, and the Coast Guard. But for me, right away, I was always a bit, hardcore in my training and the things that I would do. So for me, I was going straight to the Marines. There was no other branch for me, even though my father and my grandfather was from the Army, and my uncle and my cousin were in the Air Force. For me, it was directly to the Marines, without even thinking about it. I went there, we talked to the recruiter. I was about to sign the paper. My father said, stop. He said, look. He said, don't sign this until you do two things first. He said, take 1 week. He said, that's all I'm requesting from you. He said, take 1 week to think about it, because this is a decision that's going to change the rest of your life. The next 4 years of your life, you're going to be in the military. He said, make sure this is something that you want to do. No, don't just think now because you wanted to change this morning or yesterday when you spoke to me and you think the military is the way, so you're going to make the decision based on that. Really think it through for the next week, 1 week. And then as you're leaving, he said, go to the other branches. He said, I love the Marines, but he said, just, take from the Army and everyone else, read what they have, get to know all the branches and see which one you want to choose. And he said, if it's still something you want to do a week from now, he said, I will bring you back myself. The recruiter, even though he had the paperwork for me to sign, he told me, listen to your father. After 1 week, obviously I was back on the streets and back into the rubbish I was doing before Islam. And he eventually came to that path, led me to Islam, but it didn't lead me back to the recruiting office, so I never joined the military. But the lesson that I gained from that is to never make an emotional decision. Always make sure that it's something well thought through, and then you take the step and make that decision. Talk less and listen more. I never could understand how my father knew everything that was going on around us. Eventually, he taught me when I got a bit older. He said, it's because I don't talk much and I listen. He said, everyone likes to talk. Many people talk, but not too many act. My father's a person of not talking a lot, but a lot of action. And he works, mashallah. So he would always listen and know what's going on around him. And that's what we know from, as the expression, we have an expression in Arabic. It always says that, you have two ears and one tongue, meaning which one you should be doing more, you should be listening more. And also from the teachings of Islam, what did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tell us? Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ, then let him say good or to remain quiet. And talking too much gets you in trouble. Talking too much, if you're not acting, it's not no benefit. So only talking about that which is good and listening to know what's going on around you. Even though my father was very silent, he was like most Irish, where we can explode and we can go very quickly. If someone gets angry, and he was someone who can control his anger, which I respected. But if he needed to be tough and needed to put you in your place, and I remember some times when I stepped out of line and I saw myself, being tough and being this, my father, he would jump out of his chair and he would put me into place. So he was very strong when he needed to be strong. And as the Arabs say, they have the expression, اتقوا غضب الحليم, to fear the anger of the Halim, the one who's forbearing and forgiving, the nice guy. And beware if he gets angry. So he was always quiet, would listen more than he would talk. If he became angry, he knew how to put it in a way. He could put you in your place and be strong when he needed to be strong. Just like the workers I mentioned before, when they were messing around with his business and he saw the crooked boards, he said, take it down now. He was always very quiet, walking through the job site, always very nice guy. Now you're messing with my business. Take it down, do it again, or you won't get paid a dime. Only help those who help themselves. So this perhaps is one of the biggest things that had a huge impact on my life that my father taught me, and that is he would only help those who help themselves. Even those who are close to us. And I know my kids, they hate this one, but one day, inshallah, they're gonna understand it as well, just like I understood it later. If someone is being lazy and not striving for themselves, my father would never help them. But if someone's working hard, someone's grinding, he's struggling, and he's trying to do what he can for himself and needs some help, my father will be the first one to help him out. Sometimes, subhanAllah, we don't even look at it being a big extreme. Some people who are close to us in the family, but if they're not serious about, you know, bettering themselves and working hard for themselves, then my father wouldn't help them. And this is something that I really, really value. Even when it comes, like, for example, the beggars on the street. You know, some people ask, they say, why don't you ever give to these beggars? Many of them, that's what they do for a living, obviously. And they're not out there working. But I see sometimes a young boy or, you know, a brother or a sister, they're out next to the masjid or out on the street. They're selling, you know, tissues or selling different things on this, you know, trying to get by. Here, I might even give them a bit extra sadaqah because at least they're not begging. They're trying to sell something to be able to, you know, to work hard and to have some halal forms of income. But someone who works as a beggar in the street, I don't respect these people and I don't help these people. Even when it comes to my own family members now, even my own children, if I don't see them working hard, I don't help them with their stuff. So you're on your own. But if you're working hard and you're struggling and you fell down, you need some assistance, I'm going to be there for you. This is what my father taught me, and wallahi, I value it so much, and this is what I live by. Never give up, no matter how, you know, bad the situation might be. My father, even though he was super successful, and he did have one part of his life where, you know, he was, even before he, when he was with my mother, he was working as a plumber. He had a nice position working for a very successful company in our area. And later, when he got divorced from my mom and then married my stepmother, he opened his own business, but it wasn't successful. And, you know, perhaps only one of the reasons, I know he in the beginning of his life, he had a drinking problem, or he used to drink, like most Irish Americans or Irish people drink a lot, but he ended up stopped drinking. He realized that wasn't good for him. And this is something, a beautiful lesson, that sometimes you realize that something you might enjoy, obviously as Muslims, we don't enjoy drinking, obviously, but I'm talking about even for non-Muslims, because obviously some non-Muslims will hear this as well. So it might be something that you enjoy. Even for us, it might be, for example, dieting. And my wife was eating an ice cream the other day, and I wanted to have it. It looked very nice, but I realized the impact it would have. And you know, I'm in a thing now where I'm cutting down, so it's not good for me. So I'm going to leave that. So you see these things, even though you might enjoy them, they're not going to be beneficial for you. And one of the things I really benefited from his story, even though that's something he taught me directly about this story, something I kind of just reflected on, is that he kind of, you know, went back and looked at what went wrong. He looked at what went wrong, and he reflected on his situation, and he fixed the problems that he had. He went and he didn't give up on establishing his own company, but he realized this time, look, I don't have the ability. So he wouldn't work for someone else. He became the vice president of that company, and he became very successful. He was actually running the company, and this, you know, his boss was going through his own problems with his divorce and what have you. So he ended up, you know, being able to know the market, know the place, start his own business, saved his money. He had built his own home, alhamdulillah. We had a beautiful, you know, house on the hill, 27 acres. It was very beautiful, mashallah. And then he started his own business. Started off small, you know, buying the lot of land. He would sell the land, build a little rambler, one-story house. And then he started, obviously, building, you know, the bigger custom homes, $1 million, $2 million homes, mashallah, after that. After he established himself. But he didn't give up when he failed in the beginning, and he continued with his objective and his goal, which was to be successful, to own his own business, and not just his own business, that his business would be number one, it would be the best, and alhamdulillah, he was able to accomplish that. Have a system in life. One of the key things when I really reflect on how my father's life was, he was someone who was very, you know, systematic in his life. You know, wake up at a certain time every day, go to sleep at a certain time, do the same thing over and over again. This routine, sometimes people might find it boring, but in the reality, this is the way to success. That doesn't mean you're gonna have to be bored, because there's a lot of things you can do, you know, here and there in order to, you know, to switch things up. But the point is that if we're gonna be successful, we have to, you know, figure out what are the key ingredients that we need to be successful, and what is the system that we need to follow in order for us to be successful. And this is something that my father lived by, and I believe it was one of the, you know, key things that helped him be so successful. So those, I believe, are 13 things that really I benefited from my father's life lessons. And perhaps I could add more, but I remember one of the du'at, one of our brothers, he told us one time when I did the khutbah about Habib, that I said, no, there were 54 things that we benefit from the life of Habib. And he said, make it like seven, you know, so people can go more. And so, inshallah, these are the main things, honestly, that really had a huge impact on my life, you know, the stories and lessons that I benefited from my father. And he's still teaching me even till today. I remember when he visited me when I was living in Dubai, and he was talking about, I wasn't parking the car in the best of ways. He said, park it in this way, it's better. So even now when I come to park, I remember the lesson that my father taught me. The last story that I'll end with, inshallah ta'ala, it happened when my father visited me in Canada, and we were invited to the Sudanese masjid. And it was actually, they made a big celebration, you know, they know I have family ties in Sudan. So they had mashallah, they made a huge like feast for my father and for my stepmother. And it was me and Sheikh Saeed Raghi in Toronto. And the sisters from the Sudanese community, they said that their English is not the best. So they didn't know my father was going to be there. So they asked that the lecture that I was going to give, or the small reminder, that it be in Arabic. And I remember when I sat down to give the lesson, the lecture, it was after Asr, about a 10-minute reminder, actually. There was some young youth who were there who didn't understand Arabic. And my father and my stepmother obviously don't understand Arabic. But they said, okay, can we put it in English? And I said, no, our commitment to the sisters is that we're going to make it in Arabic. I said, we can, you know, give a small translation to my father to explain to him what was being said. But we gave a commitment to our sisters, it's going to be in Arabic, so my talk is going to be in Arabic. But what had such a huge impact on me from this story was the fact that when the people talked to him after my lecture, and I heard my father speaking to them, not to me directly, but he told them, he said, I can see that he's doing good, and he said, I'm very proud of him. And obviously because, you know, perhaps I took the path in life that he didn't want for me. He designed something for me. He had his company and, you know, thought I would come and I would run that company after him. Maybe wanted other things for me in life, but I chose a different path in life. And hearing him say that, you know, he was happy for me and he said, I'm very proud of him. And that, wallahi, it was just an amazing feeling, alhamdulillah, that, you know, all of the sacrifice I made, 13 years, you know, seeking knowledge, you know, being away from my family. And then, you know, to hear my father, you know, when he came and he sat with me and saw me after all these years, to see that he was happy for me and he was proud of me, wallahi, it had an amazing impact on me. We ask Allah to bless my father and to bless all of you and all of your parents. And Allah knows best. Allahu alam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad. Wa jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.